The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Raising his eyes towards his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Little tiny thought for you once again this morning. Yes? Yes. Okay. I saw an advertisement not long ago, and it said, "Money can't buy happiness, but it can buy salted caramel," and that's basically the same thing. And it's true, you're happy until you get to the end of the bag. And I heard the story recently of a famous rock star from the 70s who went through a terrible depression after people stopped buying his records. He was happy until styles changed. You know, they say if you want to be happy for an hour, take a nap. If you want to be happy for a day, go shopping. If you want to be happy for a week, take a vacation. But what if you just want to be happy, right? What if you just want to be happy in a way that nobody can take away from you? That's what the Beatitudes are all about, okay? For everything else, there's MasterCard. But that's what the Beatitudes are all about, happiness that you can't lose. So here's the Beatitudes as taught to us by St. Luke. And it's not the same thing as the Beatitudes you heard from the Sermon on the Mount. That comes from St. Matthew. It's important to recognize this is not a different interpretation of the same event or a different recollection of the same words. This is a different teaching, different time, different audience, different place. Matthew told his Beatitudes on top of a mountain. Luke tells his in the middle of a plain. Matthew told his Beatitudes before Jesus chose the apostles. Luke tells his after Jesus tells the apostles. So this is a retelling, and the value of that is that what you get is a summary and the highlights, the most important things taught to you by our Lord himself. Okay, so what he says is blessed, 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 blessed. And the word blessed doesn't mean very much to us because we don't use it very often. Okay, so here's where it's important to get back to the original language. And what was really said in Luke and in Matthew for the word blessed was makarios. That's the Greek word. And it gets translated into Latin as beatus, and that's where we get the word beatitude. Okay, but what's important here is the word makarios. It means a happiness you can't lose. It's not dependent on anyone. It's not dependent on anything. It's not like a vacation or a hit song or a bag of chips. It doesn't go away. It's who you are. That's why Jesus tries to share this with us. Okay? But fasten your safety belts, because if the ride is about to get wild, and you look at everything that our Lord tells us is going to make you blessed, that is, happy in a way you can't lose, what you're going to recognize is it always involves a present suffering and a future promise. Blessed are you who are poor, now hungry, now weeping, now hate you. The kingdom of God will be yours. You will be satisfied. You will laugh. You will rejoice. Present suffering, future promise. But all of this, Jesus says, leads to a present state of makarios, that is happiness that nobody can take away from you. Is that even possible? To be suffering in the present, but also to be irrepressibly joyful and happy? The answer is yes. And here's why. It's because hope makes the future present. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Hope makes the future present. If somebody were to come to me later in the day and say, "Father, great news, someone just paid off the whole debt of the church." And I say, "The whole debt? All $5 million and 25 cents of the debt? Yep, the whole thing." I don't think I'd care what happened to me for the rest of the day, right? Hope makes the future present. It works in reverse, too. I mean, when something bad is going to happen. I saw a movie once, historical reenactment of the execution of King Louis XVI in the French Revolution. And they led him to the guillotine in a fanciest of all royal carriages. But he was stone-faced, just the living dead, because he knew what was coming, right? Marie Antoinette, they led her to the guillotine in an ox cart while people threw rotten tomatoes at her. But Louis XVI, apparently, they led him in the finest of all finery. But who cares? He's going to the guillotine. Hope makes the future present. Now, what if your hope is for the kingdom of heaven? What would that be like? I don't know. But the saints know. You look through the Acts of the Apostles and you find that the apostles are overwhelmed with joy because they're flogged for the sake of the name. Or you look at St. Stephen, first martyr, face radiating like an angel as he's being stoned to death. Or you look at St. Lawrence, roasted over an open flame, cracking jokes, irrepressible happiness because hope makes the future present. And this is our incentive to continue to follow in the Lord's footsteps. Wouldn't it be great if you had a happiness that you could never lose, even when you were poor, hungry, weeping, and hated? Is what the Lord's trying to lead you to. I've said to you before, the Beatitudes are not a to-do list. They're rather a description of what a soul looks like when they're the friends of God. That's why we continue to walk hand in hand with the Lord, one step at a time, trusting in what he promises. So we know the truth of our Lord's words, find joy in the promises that he leads us to. And I don't want to let this day pass without offering a prayer for all those who died on September 11th, 2001. The day of terrible, terrible tragedy. I don't know about you, I will never, ever, ever forget. What we want to do today, we want to end this little homily by praying that they will receive the fullness of what our Lord promises. Let's pray for them and for all those who died on that terrible day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. And may their souls, and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.